Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Ja'Kari Jackson. It is October 26, 2015, and here's a look at our top stories.
Tonight, a restaurant owner in Indiana is offering a discount to customers who bring concealed firearms into his establishment after his restaurant was robbed at gunpoint over the weekend. Meanwhile, Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee says that gun stores should disobey an Obama executive order.
Unapologetic, complete ignoring of such an order.
Then, the decline of the middle class continues as a new study from the Social Security Administration shows that one out of every two working Americans makes less than $30,000 a year. And a school in Washington State has threatened to fire their football coach for post-game prayers. All that plus much more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
It's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula that was designed to smooth out and help children focus. All of our children are hit with modern mind control. Television, music, fast food, GMOs, sugars, you name it. Young humans have not yet developed their nervous system and are being hammered daily by globalist concoctions. It's no wonder they can't focus and calm down and then are put on dangerous psychotropic drugs. Working with my team, we set out to find the best formula with the highest quality ingredients that children would actually like and take. We worked with the leading manufacturer in nutritional supplements that are safe for children to bring you the most affordable and powerful calming formula out there. Introducing Child Ease with herbs and calming extracts like chamomile and lemon balm and essential nutrients that taste great. Obtain your Child Ease today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's Child Ease exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com.
You know, it was a couple years ago, myself and the crew, we went down to the city of San Antonio because people had been cited, you know, harassed for open carrying their rifles and their pistols. But, you know, in today's society, people are actually somewhat relieved when they know people are carrying in their establishments. And this is one such case. Restaurant offers discount to concealed carry patrons following a robbery. And this is Papa Roo owner Art Bouvier announced on Facebook Saturday night that an armed robber had walked in, threatened his employees, and stolen money. After the thief had made off with the money, the owner took to Facebook to announce that, until further notice, your concealed carry license earns you 25% off your meal when you dine in. And he responded to critics by saying, my restaurant, my wall, my business, I can give discounts to whomever I please. And that's exactly right, because there are many establishments that will bar you from having a handgun, whether it's concealed or open. But some places, such as this restaurant, they welcome that. And you'll see a lot of times police officers, they may frequent a restaurant or a gas station where they may get a free cup of coffee. And why do they do this? Because, yeah, they get the free cup. But also the people who work at the store, they feel better knowing that an officer is there and they come by on a routine basis. You know, and if that's the price of coffee, that's not a big deal to them. It's the same thing here. They want people to know that there are armed people there in the vicinity. Because that's what a lot of it is. You know, it's that deterrent, whether it's be visual or, you know, concealed, just like the Secret Service, for example. You go to the White House, what? You have snipers on the roofs. They're very visible. But you also have plainclothes guys when Obama's out greeting crowds, whatever. You don't see a weapon on them, but you know they're packing. And just that alone is a huge deterrent for a lot of would-be offenders, a lot of people who would go there and try to kick up dust and so forth. And people understand this, so that's why you see more and more of these things happening more often. And now, speaking on another aspect of the gun debate, we now have Mike Huckabee. He says gun stores should disobey an Obama executive order. We continue to see the president coming out saying that he wants to ban this, he wants to ban that. And I continually run into people who keep saying, you guys are Republicans. Well, number one, I'm not a Republican, but let's say you Republicans keep saying that Obama's been trying to take away your guns. He's been in office for years now. He hasn't taken away anybody's firearms. Well, you know, probably because he's giving them to Mexican drug cartels, but that's another story. But trying and failing to do something is still trying to do it. Just like if you run track and field and you do the pole vault and you run up and you smack the bar and it falls down and you don't make it, you don't get the gold medal, you don't even get bronze. You still tried and failed. So when Obama comes out here, well, I want to ban this. And he says in the debates with Mitt Romney, he wants to ban AK-47s. AK-47s should be in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals, which I do agree they should not be in the hands of criminals. But you can't make somebody a criminal just by automatically owning a AK-47, most of which aren't even fully automatic. That's a big misconception that people have. They see movies and they go to some big box store like Academy or Cabela's and they assume that those rifles are fully automatic. The majority of them are not. And the only reason I say majority, because I think Cabela's does trade for some firearms, so they may temporarily have a fully automatic rifle in their midst, but it's not something that they normally stock. So trying and failing is still trying, so that's what I say to all the naysayers. But now Huckabee had to say this. He said, there should certainly be an absolute, unapologetic, just complete ignoring of such an order by those gun shop owners, because the president can't make law. And this was said by the former Arkansas governor. And that's right, because if you go to many gun shops, I've been to multiple ones where they have a picture of Obama and it says gun salesman of the year, or, you know, thanks Obama, you know, because every time he comes out and threatens something, whether it's sanctions on AK-47s, you hear people talk about the Bushmasters or whatever else, they want to sue Bushmaster and all this other silliness. What happens? The gun sales go through the roofs because people understand that passing laws is not going to stop people from doing horrible things. Just like you go back to the Old Testament, people used to kill each other with rocks and bricks. And what happened last week? A guy went into a church and tried to kill a pastor with a rock and a brick. You know, the human nature of violence has not changed. The human nature of ill intent has not changed. Yes, the tools have changed over time. But if you have the proper ill intent, you will pick up a brick and try to bash somebody's brains out. But luckily, the pastor was living in modern times and pulled out his pistol and shot the guy. Now he is still allowed to tell the story. But with this Firearm Act, you know, we also have the Hearing Protection Act, which would allow people to have things such as suppressors on their firearms. And that's one of the big no-nos for a lot of people, or for the anti-gun groups. They say, well, if somebody has a gun, I want to hear them shooting at me. Well, number one, if the guy's a good shot, you're not going to hear a damn thing in the first place. But beyond that, you know, don't you want to have people who are fully aware of their surroundings and so forth? Just like that's one of the big criticisms. If somebody pulls out a gun, it's not a police officer or a military personnel. They don't have confidence in that person's ability to hit the target. So if a guy, if I'm in a restaurant, whatever, some concealed carrier pulls out his firearm, I want him to have all senses available to him to be able to accurately pinpoint his target so he can hear if somebody is walking by and may walk into a shot. Don't you want somebody who's fully capable to react to all this type of situations? But I guess that just makes too much sense for some people. And now, talking about making sense, we've put, I don't know the hard numbers, but many, many people into prison, non-violent drug offenders. So these are people who, you know, been caught a few times. Maybe they have, you know, a marijuana cigarette, or, you know, a joint or whatever. But under the mandatory minimums, they've been caught two or three times. And now they put these people into prisons, which is completely ridiculous. The notion that you were to release somebody from prison who was a violent offender, an armed robber or a rapist or somebody to that sort, just so you can put these low-level offenders into jail is absolutely ridiculous. But now we have a year after Philly pot law has changed, arrests are down. And it was the first citation, and it was a ceremonial kickoff of sorts after the city decriminalized possession of the use of small amounts of marijuana. In the year since the law took effect, arrests have fallen nearly 75%. And you see what happens when you just decriminalize it. Like, once again, as I always talk about marijuana or any other drug, I'm not encouraging people to go out and take it for recreational purposes. I definitely recognize medicinal purposes. I have no issue with that. But I'm not telling you to go out and smoke it just to smoke it. But if you decriminalize the thing, now you don't have people filling into your jails. These are, you know, a lot of times young people who get caught up in a mix. Case in point, I can't remember. I guess it was Jeb's daughter. I know she was a member of the Bush family. She's a young lady who got caught up with some drug charges. I think it was something a little bit more serious than marijuana, but she got caught up nonetheless. And the Bush family came out and said, hey, this is a young lady. She made a mistake, you know, back in her youth. She shouldn't be demonized. She shouldn't be criminalized, penalized for the rest of her life for a choice she made years prior. And I agree with that 100% Bush family. And I don't agree with most of the stuff they say, but I do agree with that. With that said, if you grant that courtesy to your daughter, to your niece, to your granddaughter, you should allow that for the rest of the people in the United States of America and not put people into prisons for doing these low-level crimes that didn't hurt anybody but themselves. So, Bush family, if you're going to give that courtesy to your daughter, to your family member, please give that to everybody else in the United States of America. Now, when I was a kid, you know, I played football, I played a lot of sports, And a lot of times we would have a halftime prayer, a beginning of the game prayer, prayers of practice and all that stuff. And it wasn't that big of a deal. You know, the coach said, hey guys, let's take a knee. If you don't want to participate, you don't have to participate. And I can't recall anybody ever getting up and leaving, but the coach always told people, hey, if you don't feel comfortable with this, if this goes against your whatever beliefs, you're welcome to step out, you know, no harm against you. But now people are coming down very hard, you know, and we live in a society where you can take a bunch of kids to a sex shop without parental consent and have them, you know, play with dildos and all that stuff. But if they want to have a knee, you know, Tebow, as they call it nowadays, if they want a Tebow at practice, that is just way too much. And now we have this Fox News story about this issue.
He went out there by himself and took a knee and bowed his head. And the students are the ones that decided that they wanted to join him. In fact, they asked him permission if they could join him. And he said it was a free country, that they can do what they please. And so now, you know, given everything that's happening in our nation right now, and especially in our public schools, it's shocking that a school district would want to try to criminalize what Coach Kennedy is doing, which is really just trying to be thankful for player safety on the field.
Right. And to anybody who would say that they're forcing this on the kids, they're forcing the religion on the kids, or what about all these, you know, transgender bathrooms and all these other things that we see going on in the schools? Isn't that forcing a type of sexuality onto the children? Because I'm not talking about a unisex bathroom that you might see in the airport, right? It's a one-person bathroom. A man comes in, leaves, and then next, a woman goes in, leaves, they're in there by themselves. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, young ladies being in the restroom and there's some guy in there pissing on the seat. You know, you're forcing that on the young ladies, but you don't say, well, let's ban this or let's keep a bathroom for the boys and a bathroom for the girls. They want to mix all this stuff in together, but they'll come out to religion and say that you're infringing on these kids' rights. You're trying to force things on them, just like I gave the example earlier in my school. Like I said, I don't know how it is all around the country, but when I was a young man growing up playing sports, you didn't have to participate in the prayer. It was just there for those who wish to participate in it. And what about participating in your finances? And we have a new article from the Daily Caller. 1 in 2 working Americans make less than $30,000 a year. 51% of working Americans make less than $30,000 a year. New data from the Social Security Administration shows that's $2,500 a month before taxes and just over the federal poverty line for a family of five. The wage index doesn't take into account the 8 million Americans who are unemployed or the tens of millions of working age Americans who are not participating in the jobs market. Yeah, and this is a very big deal because you think about for a family of five, $30,000 is not a lot of money at all. It's definitely not a lot of money for a single individual. So imagine trying to raise all your children on this system. You know, what are you going to do? A lot of people turn to food stamps and other type of government subsidies. And I'm not saying they're bad in and of themselves. I'm just saying you don't want to be dependent on that government handout in order to feed your family and do everything that you have to do. In addition to this, we also see people cutting their hours. You know, famously, Walmart has done it. Not saying that I'm vouching for everything Walmart's been doing, but because of things like Obamacare, they're trying to keep people under a certain hour so they can't go up and hit those Obamacare rates. And of course, you know, you need things like insurance, all the medical aid you need for, especially if you have a young family, the kids that break their legs, they need braces, all these other type of things. And now they have the hours cut, not just because of, you know, a bad economy and all that stuff, but also things going on in the insurance arena. So this is very concerning to anybody who's out there trying to raise their family on such a low rate. You know, you may be one of those people yourselves, and you just got to do the best you can. You know, there's no one-size-fits-all simple solution to this. You just try to make the best you can with what you have to work with. And as we're talking about this, this also leads to a lot of homeless issues, because imagine you have those five kids making $30,000 a year. What are you going to do? A lot of people, like I said, they end up homeless or under some type of subsidy. And this is bureaucracy at its best, where somebody can come together or a community can come together. They say, hey, we're going to pull our resources. We're going to actually build some small houses for homeless people to live in. And what happens? They send the police to come and knock the whole house down, just like the Three Little Pigs. Let's take a look.
In an effort to provide affordable housing, Denver Homeless Out Loud spent Saturday putting up these micro homes in a vacant space of Denver Housing Authority's community garden, building them hand in hand with the homeless people who planned to use them. But they didn't have permission. Police kicked them out for trespassing and arrested the 10 who refused to leave.
People need to have hope that they can do something. So to quash something like that just in an instant is to rob them of a dream.
Coming up this Wednesday, the 28th, from 7 to 10 p.m. Central, InfoWars is going to be here live analyzing the Republican debates. Now, we've been doing this for a while now, and people need to understand we're not doing this to promote any one particular candidate, because we know at the top levels that these guys are at, a lot of them are pretty much, you know, fixed horses, you know, just like Trump has said himself. He picks up the phone at 3 a.m. He calls whoever the candidate is. He says, hey, I need you to do this favor for me. Then they hop up and do it. He's saying that the political system is broken, and I could not agree more with that. So we're doing this more as a way to educate the general public about the left-right paradigm and how you don't have to choose between a Republican and a Democrat. Yes, there are more political parties out there. You know, there aren't any other hot candidates at this point in time, but hopefully, you know, we can see a libertarian lot rise up and take a look at all the BS and propaganda that's going on in these debates. Now, as far as what these guys are going to be talking about, it's going to be on CNBC. And they say that some of the hot issues that they're going to be talking about this time around are going to be taxes, retirement spending, and jobs growth. So, you know, I think it's going to be the pretty much standard template, you know, kind of like almost like a Word document. Say, yes, I want to increase jobs. Well, how are you planning to do it? I'm just going to do it. That's, we've actually heard some of these guys say it. As of right now, it doesn't seem like they're going to be talking too much about, or at least looking at this handout, they're going to be talking too much about war or economic crisis or all this other stuff. They're just going to be giving that, yes, we want to make jobs and blah, blah, blah. So the same things that we see over and over with all these debates. So stay tuned to InfoWars. We'll be here. Myself, David Knight, Joe Biggs, as well as the rest of the crew are going to be here breaking all this down for you. Now, stay tuned, because coming up later in our show, we're going to have Leanne McAdoo talking about her cleanse, her liver cleanse, and all the results of that. Also, we had a transhumanist today on the Alex Jones Show. We're going to be talking about his views and give you an opposing view to what he's pushing. Stay tuned. This is the InfoWars Nightly News.
Did you know that only 6 corporations control 90% of what millions of Americans see, hear, and read every single day? It's the illusion of choice. Think about it. The mainstream media is owned by only a handful of megacorporations with vested interests. But on the other hand, the internet is an interconnected network of billions of sources. So you can research information for yourself from multiple sources, or you can blindly accept what you hear or read in the mainstream media, never questioning what you are being told. This gives you a false sense of reality. I mean, do you actually know what you think you know? Or have you been programmed to accept someone else's version of events? Think about it. This is Darren McBreen, and I want you to break the matrix at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv.
Your liver can be full of fatty deposits, built-up toxins, and even dangerous objects known as liver stones. We worked with the top developers in the field of detox to take tried and true herbs and other compounds known to safely cleanse the liver and fuse it with the latest research and technological development on concentrating these ingredients to give you the maximum effect. Liver Shield is the only liver support product on the market that uses a patented Spigyrex blend of powerful organic herbs that support detoxification. And when you visit InfoWarsLife.com, see the instructional video on how to do a 6-day liver detox. This isn't a game, and let me tell you, the results are dramatic. Liver Shield is totally organic and made of the safest high-quality herbs. But that said, you need to consult your physician before you do the full detox. Liver Shield can also be used daily by itself for overall upkeep of the liver. Secure your Liver Shield today exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com for the lowest price available. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for. You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com. or call 888-253-3139. And it's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula that was designed to smooth out and help children focus. All of our children are hit with modern mind control. Television, music, fast food, GMOs, sugars, you name it. Young humans have not yet developed their nervous system and are being hammered daily by globalist concoctions. It's no wonder they can't focus and calm down and then are put on dangerous psychotropic drugs. Working with my team, we set out to find the best formula with the highest quality ingredients that children would actually like and take. We worked with the leading manufacturer in nutritional supplements that are safe for children to bring you the most affordable and powerful calming formula out there. Introducing Child Ease with herbs and calming extracts like chamomile and lemon balm and essential nutrients that taste great. Obtain your Child Ease today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's Child Ease exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it, InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams a piece. It has 3 milligrams, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
I wanted to let everybody know this cleanse is on sale right now. The Liver Shield is on sale. The pack itself is on sale with the Advanced Liver Cleanse Pack with the Oxy Powder and the Liver Shield. The Oxy Powder itself is on sale. So go ahead to the InfoWars store and pick some up today. I'm telling you, this is powerful. I felt amazing this entire week. It was not as hard as I thought that it was going to be. And they are right now highlighting this Dr. Group's 6-day liver cleanse instructions. Please follow the instructions. I tried to sub them a little bit when we get to the salt flush. So Emmy, we'll go ahead and start talking about that right now. So what I did is you're supposed to get Epsom salt, and we couldn't find it. We were looking, and the only thing they had was the Epsom salt that you bathe in. So it had lavender and honey and, you know, all of these ingredients, and we're like, I'm not going to ingest that.
That's confusing.
So we subbed it out with, did you use Himalayan sea salt as well?
I used Celtic sea salt, because when I do the master cleanse, which I do quite a bit, you flush every morning, and yeah. I use Celtic sea salt with that, but you drink it with a lot more water.
You do a lot more salt and a lot more water than what is recommended on Dr. Group's instructions. And I got to say, Dr. Group was pretty disappointed this morning when I talked to him and told him that I didn't follow his instructions. And the reason why he uses the Epsom salt specifically is because Himalayan salt or Celtic sea salt or something like that that you could actually put on your food, it's a different salt compound. So it's got magnesium and things like that that your body will absorb because, you know, it's salt that you can eat. Whereas with the Epsom salt, it's a different kind of compound. So even if you're just using that 1 tablespoon of Epsom salt with 8 ounces of water, your body will flush it out. It will react to it because it's like, whoa, this is not salt that I should be ingesting. So we didn't do our diary yesterday, specifically because it was flush day. And I got to say that was my least favorite part of this cleanse was doing the salt. And 3/4 of a cup of olive oil.
Oh. Did you put a tiny bit of orange juice in it though?
I did. Okay. Your suggestion.
That does help. It just a little bit though.
Tell us what you told me how to do it because it did make it palatable. I did it, but it was horrendous.
So I prefer doing the olive oil, sipping it through a straw because, I mean, when you're trying to physically chug olive oil, I mean, it's a thicker substance.
And you also put it in the refrigerator.
Yeah, I put it in the refrigerator in the morning because I knew that I was going to drink it that night. And then I just add, like, you know, maybe a little less than a shot glass full of orange juice into it, mix it, and then I plug my nose. Even with the saltwater flush, you need to plug your nose because if you have any kind of gag reflex, it will kick in.
I just kept saying, I'm a mermaid.
So I plug my nose and just take a straw and sip it down, you know, and the second you let go of your nose, you're going to taste the olive oil. I mean, olive oil isn't a pleasant taste in raw, but...
And I love olive oil, but I don't want any...
But again, that, I mean, group is right. I mean, that, if you can keep it in for that 8 hours and lay on your side for that 30 minutes, it's going to oil pull and it's going to pull the toxins out of your liver and you do feel it. Did you not start to feel sick?
Absolutely. Well, as soon as I took the olive oil, you're supposed to immediately go lay down on your right side, pull your knees to your chest. And I heard it. It was like, like little sort of popping sounds just starting to come out of wherever. And I felt it flowing through my intestines, but I also felt like I was on my deathbed because I was basically ODing on sodium, and that is why my before and afters are not necessarily before and after. I took so much salt that I woke up this morning and I was really bloated, and needless to say, I'm experiencing the flush today. So now we're going to go ahead and take some of your phone calls. I want to go ahead and talk to Chandler in Oklahoma. Go ahead.
Hello, Leanne. Nice to talk to you.
Hi there.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
You're live.
I just had to ask that because nearly every caller asks that. But anyways, I'm 23 years old. I'm a construction worker. I wrestled in high school. I played basketball competitively. And by no means am I out of shape or overweight, but I found myself getting kind of fogged down midday, framing houses. Mm-hmm. And I decided to do the liver cleanse. I did the liver cleanse. And it just gave me, I found myself taking energy drink, having energy drinks midday and not even bad energy drinks, supplemental energy drinks. But after the cleanse, I absolutely did not have any fogginess during the day. I was just, I felt great after the cleanse. And if they're a little overweight, or if they have an inside job where they're not as active, they're not doing, I mean, I feel like.
That's when it's absolutely going to get backed up there because you're not moving around. And in humans, we're not meant to be sitting around all day. We're meant to be getting a little bit of physical activity. You're absolutely right about that. What was your diet like before you did the cleanse?
My diet, I had a good diet throughout high school. Like I said, I'm 23, so I kind of dropped out of that diet, and I never drink pop. I always drink water. I kind of watch what I eat throughout the week so I don't feel bad, but.
Did you find yourself like not craving greasy stuff after the cleanse? Like you were craving the healthy stuff afterwards because your body wants it?
Oh yeah, it gave me an extreme amount of, mental motivation to continue eating healthy, to not eat greasy food, not eat junk food.
Yeah.
Gave me an extraordinary amount of motivation to keep up with eating right, eating healthy.
Right.
After the cleanse, it was great. It was amazing. Just bought some more. I'm going to do a second cleanse because I heard Dr. Group just stress how important it is to do it a second time and a third time and just keep up the cleansing.
Wow, Chandler. Well, that is so awesome to hear. I'm glad that you had such tremendous results with this, and that even after that salt flush and the olive oil experience, you're ready to do it again. Thank you, Chandler, because Chandler's absolutely right. I feel the exact same way. It was so the way that I felt during the cleanse, and even now today, even after being, I think literally on my deathbed last night, I feel great today. You feel lighter. Literally, our skin is glowing. I didn't even want to put makeup on today just to let everyone see that my skin is just, it's glowing, it's clear, the mental clarity. And, you know, is that why you've done so many cleanses?
Yeah, I mean, it all started, like I said, I started my very, very first time I attempted to cleanse, I started with one of the hardest ones, which was the master, obviously. But this one, I mean, if you are somebody out there and you are addicted to cleanses like I am, you know, I try to do them every 4 months. So 3 times a year, that's usually a good, I mean, you build up a lot of the toxins from what they put in our foods and whatnot. So it's good to do it a couple of times a year. If you like cleanses, this is I don't want to say it's easy to somebody who's never done one, but it definitely is easy if you are a cleanser. It's an easier cleanse to do.
Yeah. Well, this has been my very first cleanse. And
good.
It was, you know, obviously it's really good to have someone along for the ride, help keep you motivated, keep your mental constitution in check, you know, don't give up. So that was definitely very helpful. And it was an easy cleanse. I think a lot of that, what really helped is that I cut out cheese and wine, my favorite things, a few days beforehand. And I think that really helps to just kind of, so you're not, well, except for I did eat that piece of pizza for lunch.
But also, you know, what helps the most on this cleanse is those OxyPowder pills. Like,
yes,
I
absolutely
addicted. I love the OxyPowder pills because they will do what a saltwater flush does to you, but they do it in a healthy way.
In a healthy way, without that horrendous taste.
Yeah.
You're right.
I love the OxyPowder pills. So, I mean, and you don't want to obviously take those every day on a daily basis, but like if I go out on the weekend and, you know, I'm going to a barbecue and I'm drinking beer and this and that, and hey, let's say I have an audition the next day, I'm going to take some OxyPowder pills the night before and I'm going to, you know, lose that bloating and sodium bloating and all that bad stuff.
Well, everyone is always worried about putting on those winter pounds with Thanksgiving and Christmas. We're all worried about that. And that's, you're exactly right with the OxyPowder.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cheat thing, but it is healthy. It's healthy for you and you've got to cleanse the stuff out of your gut. You know, like I said here, the World Health Organization is saying processed meats, sausages and bacon, causes cancer, bowel cancer. It's probably enough evidence, they say, it's probably carcinogenic, and it's based on how much meat you're putting in your body. And so many people eat tons of meat, way more than is recommended. So, and what people don't understand is that can stay in your intestines for years.
Yeah, red meat and pork especially.
You'll never cleanse it out. And so that's why I recommend the OxyPowder above everything if that's where you got to start. But again, we are running a special on it. So now is the time to go ahead and try this liver cleanse pack because it is on sale.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
Break down why you're so proud of these filters.
Well, I mean, this the Alexa Pure is really a culmination of all of my experience. It was posed to me as an extremely challenging project. They wanted a product that would actually operate without any electricity, so it had no pressure. You had to do it all by gravity, and they really effectively said, we need everything imaginable to be removed efficiently, way higher than 99%. And so the result was, it's an extreme challenge. Worked on it for quite a long time. And basically what we've done is we created the only filter, to my knowledge, that hits all three. It will remove effectively all the major metals, all the major nonmetals such as fluoride. It will take out all known microbiological threats, including viral, bacterial, and cyst. And it will take out organic chemicals of pretty much everything without exception. It's a very, very powerful device. I don't believe that there's anything else out there in the world that can do that, especially under gravity flow conditions. The fit and finish are fantastic. No compromise was made on the quality of the construction. So, I mean, it's really a remarkable achievement on their part, and I feel very proud, actually, to be part of the team that put that together.
What's your view overall on fluoride?
Well, okay, so we actually tested against both the fluoride ion and the fluorosilicate that you mentioned, which is the additive that people put into water under federal control. And basically, we removed both of them with equal efficiency. So we wanted to be sure that no matter how fluoride is added to the water, it can be intercepted and removed. So that's how we've dealt with that. All I can tell you is that we tested against all known fluoride chemicals that are added to water, the new ones and the old ones, and we removed them all of equal efficiency.
And is your belief that this is the best gravity-fed filter of the design out there available to the public?
Without a doubt. I mean, most of these gravity flow filters are at best simple particulate filters. They remove dirt and debris, sediment. They're not going to be capable of intercepting a viral particle to the degree we're talking quantitative reduction below detection. No one can touch that kind of capability.
Well, I'm impressed, and I want to thank you so much for your time today. It is the AlexaPure Pro family of water filtration systems available discounted exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank Mr. Redhawk for allowing us to be part of the launch of this. It's on sale right now for their main unit, $177. Leading competitors that aren't even as good or more than that. And they've also got the survival spring type straw system for survival that is an absolute must-have.
Joining me in the studio is Zoltan Isfahan. He is founder of the Transhumanist Party. You are now, Zoltan, taking a bus tour. Is that right? You're going across country with your, I think it's the Immortality Bus. Is that what it's called?
Indeed. It is a bus that looks essentially just like a coffin, and we're trying to provoke a conversation about life extension.
Okay. All right. And we've got a video, and I want to run this video and ask you about what you're doing with this and why you would do this. We've got a video of you getting a chip put in. Are you guys ready to roll that video? Can we do that? Okay, let's roll that video.
But you have the chip already built into the thing?
Or yep, it's already in the injector.
Okay.
So it's sterilized and ready to go.
Yeah.
There we go. See that little pop feeling?
That was not.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I've done much worse over the last few days.
How long ago was this?
About 5 weeks ago.
Jammed it in the ladder.
Here, we'll
it's
give it some blood.
It's a pretty big needle. It's hard to show. Look, there's some blood. But it's a 60-second procedure. In fact, maybe it's a 10-second procedure done quickly.
Who wants to see the blood involved here?
It's definitely, it hurts more than a normal needle. That's for sure. But it's a pop.
Are you feeling any more?
And they're putting that in your hand. For people who are listening on the radio, they're putting a chip in your hand.
Indeed, yes.
And what is this chip going to do?
Well, it's very rudimentary, honestly. It doesn't really do much, but for example, with the bus, if you have the right software and the right technology, you can start your bus by waving your hand over the ignition instead of having a key. Or, for example, to get into the Alex Jones studio, you could just swipe your hand at the security and that would let you right in. In the future, though, it's going to be able to do things like you can pay with it. You can it'll monitor your temperature, your hydration levels, and maybe even tell you whether you're getting enough iron from broccoli or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's going to do a lot of different things like that.
And then, of course, the government can also track your position all the time with it.
So that is absolutely a concern. It's a concern of mine. But at the same time, you know, I'm just sort of like the iPhone or the smartphones. You know, I guess there's a trade-off between your surveillance and security issues versus the government kind of prying into your life.
Yeah, exactly. That's always a trade-off. And, you know, I was one of the first people to get an iPhone. I got the very first iPhone on the very first day. I love technology. And I got to say, when I'm finished with this contract, I'm going back to some kind of a burner phone because I'm just fed up with the surveillance state. And so I'm willing, now I've looked at this and it's like, I will put up with a lot of inconvenience for my privacy, because I think that's something that I don't want to give up. But let me ask you about health concerns. Aren't you concerned about the health issues of having that there? Because there's been some reports of animals who've gotten these kinds of chips develop tumors at the site of that. This is something you put in fairly recently. There hasn't been a lot of history with these kind of chip implants. Are you concerned about possible health effects?
So, yes, I am. But so far, at least in the biohacker community, I haven't heard of anything negative specifically with anyone that has received this chip. Now, it's really the size of a grain of rice. It's tiny. That said, I do want to say, you know, my wife is a surgeon, and she said, you know, you do need to be cautious that what if this got free and went into the bloodstream and clogged an artery or something. So there are dangers like that. However, I have not heard of one like that. And I think a lot of people bring up a lot of the dangers, but so far there's very little evidence that would prove contrary to this. Again, not that many people have had it, and I'm very happy that I did it. I would probably do another one, and I'm a big advocate for cranial implants. You know, as you may know, there's about 500,000 people in the world right now that have cranial implants, brain implants. Most of them are cochlear implants that help with deafness so that people can hear, but some are already working towards epilepsy or working to help with Alzheimer's. So I think the era of implants is coming, and it's not, you know, even though I got this tiny thing in my hand, we're talking on the next 10 years, many people are going to be doing, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And the real question is, how can we get the public to feel secure with them? And especially, how can we make sure the government doesn't abuse it?
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, part of that is informed consent. I mean, personally, if I'm looking at this, I want to know that there's enough of a history with something, anything that I put in my body, whether it's an implant or whether it's a vaccine or you know, anything that is new, I want to know what the history of this is. I want to see the studies. I want to see studies that have been done by people besides the people who created the device or who created the vaccine to know if it is something that's safe. And the important part of that is not only the informed part of that, but it's also the consent part of that. As somebody who is running in a political party, would you support mandatory implants of people?
No, of course not. But what I would support is a development from the government, you know, putting real money into it. For example, through Obama's Brain Initiative, $70 million is now going to DARPA, and they are trying to develop a chip to help with depression from soldiers coming back from wars and conflict zones. And I think that's an excellent use of, you know, cranial implants is to try to cure something like depression. I mean,
do you really believe that that's the mission of DARPA?
No, I'm just saying
seriously, I mean, DARPA has used these kinds of things, benign uses, and come up with it and said, you know, we just want these killer robots because we might have to go into a nuclear power plant like Fukushima someday. If you go back and you look at the history of DARPA, there's an excellent book. Alex has interviewed the author, Andy Jacobson, The Pentagon's Brain, going back to the 1950s, the 1960s. I mean, DARPA is there to create weapon systems. They're not there to help people. And, you know, when I look at these brain system, these brain initiatives that DARPA is part of, I have to remember that after World War II, after the Korean War, they were doing frontal lobotomies on people. Massive front, the Pentagon was doing. Now you got PTSD, we'll give you a frontal lobotomy. This allows them to do this electronically, not having to use, you know, in a much cleaner way. Okay. So I mean, again, it comes down to the element of trust and the whole fact that DARPA would come out with these programs and put a beard on it and say, oh, this is for peaceful, benign use. I just don't buy it.
Well, and I understand your worries. And of course, you're older than me, so you've seen more of the history of DARPA. But at the same time, I think we are really just talking about depression for soldiers. So it's hard to see how that could go wrong. Now, I do understand about the war machines. You're right. There is a long history of developing, you know, war toys. And frankly, my political party and myself are pretty against war. In fact, one of our main initiatives is to try to divert money from defense and bomb making and wars to health, to science and technology. So I'm definitely I wouldn't say anti-military, but a huge part of my platform is pulling money away from the military and putting it directly into scientists' hands.
Yeah, I would like to pull the money away from the military and pull it out of the government's hands. Quite frankly, I would like for us to be able to make our own decisions, to make our voluntary associations, to fund our own research if we wish, to be able to afford to buy whatever we wished for our own health. But of course, you know, as long as we send all of our money to Washington and then have them make those decisions for us, that won't happen. Let's talk a little bit about your transhumanist party. Let's talk about the platform here. Here's the first one. Implement a transhumanist bill of rights mandating government support of longer lifespans via science and technology. I want to know what the bill of rights is, but you kind of lost me there when you use the word mandating. Okay. Cause I'm not really big on mandates, especially when it's something that's coming from the federal government.
No, of course. And mandate is kind of a strong word, but basically we want to have it so that, and this is one of the reasons why I'm driving this bus across the country. We're going to be delivering this transhumanist bill of rights to the U.S. Capitol building in about 5 weeks. And, We want to make it so that politicians cannot step into the way of people's health. We feel that politicians throughout history, for example, with George W. Bush stopping stem cell funding, he has hurt people's health. And we would like to make it so that no politician, because of either religious or cultural positions, can stand in the way of people's overall health. Now, I know
the stem cell research. Let's understand that when they stopped infant stem cell research, okay, there's still adult stem cell research. And it's actually adult stem cell research that they've had all the advances from. They haven't had any advances from fetal stem cell research. So you can do things in a way that doesn't violate people's rights. For example, we have prohibitions against doing things to people without their informed consent because of things that were done during the Nuremberg trials. They were making the case, they made the case with Nazi scientists, with German scientists, that in the greater good of humanity, they could do things to people without their informed consent, horrific things to people without their informed consent. So there are some ethical checks that we want to put on medical progress that people do. We don't just say, well, if we're going to benefit potentially from this medically, we're going to remove those checks. So it is valid, I think, to have some ethical checks. So I feel that if we don't make decisions about what we put into our own bodies, then we are nothing but slaves to people. I don't think that the federal government ought to be able to make any of those determinations. But I think it's also very important that we, I'm concerned about the idea that we would mandate support from the government, because I've seen how that turns around very quickly. We're out of time for this segment.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2.
I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there.
Take advantage of this at InfoWarsLife.com.
And why wearing a Hillary for President t-shirt might get you punched in the face.
They thought it said Hillary for President. He said, I was seconds away from sending my bar back over here to punch you in the face. Since you're wearing a Hillary for Prison shirt, you don't have to buy drinks here. Everything's on the house.
Hillary's not surging, I tell you that. They're not saying that. They're not saying that. Thank you.
Donald Trump endorses Hillary for Prison. Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt at the InfoWars store. And on the back it says, legalize freedom. Show your disapproval of Hillary by buying your t-shirt today.
But what she's done is criminal.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
Professor, continuing here today, talk about your book. Talk about, you know, the wide-ranging situation that we're dealing with.
So the book really is about what the future of artificial intelligence is going to bring. Most people agree that in the next 20 to maybe 100 years, we're going to see something developed on the level of human intelligence. How is that going to change society? How is that going to impact all of us? My book aims to make sure that the humanity is going to benefit from this technology, not get hurt in some really significant way. So that's essentially the main theme of a book. It discusses ways we can make those technologies safer, hack-proof them, make them serve common people.
Break down for the common person out there exactly the type of scenarios that could unfold and have already unfolded with these systems.
So if you realized the number of different jobs we have outsourced to artificial intelligence systems. They can already control nuclear power plants, airlines, stock trading. Essentially, anything of significance is not done by people anymore. And this trend only gets more and more severe. At some point, we'll have computers controlling everything. And if there is a bug in a system or if an enemy hacks into the system, this could have devastating effects on the whole society.
And, of course, that really, from my research, has been the DARPA plan the whole time. Get the whole world to adopt this system, build back doors into it. The West then builds the giant cybersecurity commands to offensively take over the world, Professor, and then build the back doors in to where they can use it to suppress and track the general public and even predict the future of mass movements. That's basically, from my research, what the Pentagon admits they're doing.
I am not familiar with any insider plans. I can notice things like NSA distributing cryptographic algorithms, which seems like a counterintuitive thing since they're trying to break those. So if there was a backdoor in their hashing algorithm, for example, I wouldn't be surprised.
Professor Yampolsky is our guest, and you can find out more about him by checking out his book, and we'll put a screenshot up on the screen for people that are watching us on television so they can get the name of that book. It's Artificial Superintelligence, a Futuristic Approach. And you can actually see one of the professor's interviews with us right there, Skynet Rising, the AI Threat to Humanity Exists. My issue is, are you more concerned about breakdowns in the system or governments using these to dominate or an actual AI-type artificially aware system coming online, and then that decides to take us out like Terminator?
All of the above. My job is to make sure everybody's safe, so I can't ignore any opportunities, any options. It's easier to study and easier to justify scenarios where someone is hacking into the system externally. Something like a self-aware AI system going crazy is really futuristic. We're not quite at that level yet, but something like a government putting a backdoor to control the system, that's quite realistic. That's standard computer security.
What do you think of what Ray Kurzweil has to say? Because for me, it's more like a comic book, the way he puts things out. And he admits he's starting really a new religion. And they're saying, you'll either merge with the machines or you'll be stepped on like a bug. And they're selling this utopian view. But when I look at the real technological development and what the establishment says they're really building, it's more in line with something like Elysium, the new movie coming out with Matt Damon.
Kurzweil is probably the world's number one expert in that field. I mean, he's amazing at predicting what future of technology is going to be. He precisely predicted the year a computer will defeat a human chess champion. He predicted a lot of other technologies. He is, in my opinion, somewhat overly optimistic about how beneficial technology will be without spending as much time on possible negative side effects, which I think are just as important. With his recent appointment as head of engineering at Google, he definitely has financial resources and other capacity to make a lot of his dreams come true. I wouldn't be surprised if they had a very successful AI program at Google as a result of Ray Kurzweil's work.
But my issue is the technocrats, I've studied who's running this, and they openly say we may just get rid of everybody once this new level of evolution takes place. We're talking about genocide here and people playing God, and I don't think the public is even aware that Ray Kurzweil is able to predict a lot of what's coming in the future because he's an insider and kind of their front man. He's obviously a very smart, a big inventor. He is basically the public face of what they're planning to do, is my point. I mean, I'm not even an engineer. I go off of what they say they're going to do. And so that's why he knows so much about the goals. I mean, he wants a technocratic world government run by an AI supercomputer where we're reportedly going to be given eternal life by giving up our humanity and merging with machines. Sounds like a nightmare to me.
I want you to kind of lay out for us the two different approaches to AI and kind of get an idea where we are in terms of current research on this. You disagree with Ray Kurzweil on the eventual outcome. He's someone who thinks that we're going to merge with machines in a kind of cyborg way. He also sees a utopian future. You're very concerned about this in terms of its conclusion, but I think you both kind of are taking the same approach to artificial intelligence, aren't you, in terms of modeling the human brain?
My best friend is Ben Goertzel, and he and Ray Kurzweil, I consider them the two guys probably, well, one of those two will be the first, I think, to achieve genuine human-level artificial intelligence. And Ben's way, I call his approach just simply the engineering approach. In other words, do whatever you like. You know, just take some idea and engineer it and see if you can get artificial intelligence out of it. And that's pretty much the approach that artificial intelligence researchers have been taking for, 60-odd years. And they've not been successful. We still don't live in an era of artificially intelligent machines. And the other broad approach is simply copy the brain. Now, we know that approach eventually will pan out because, you know, we only have to look at ourselves as the living proof that it's possible to put molecules together in a certain way and produce an intelligent, conscious creature, you know, ourselves, human beings. We're the living proof that it can be done. Nature has found a way. But the bottleneck with that problem is we don't really know what intelligence is yet. We don't have enough knowledge of the detailed structure of the human brain. You know,
that's a good question, Dr. Degaris, because how do you define intelligence? I mean, I remember decades ago people talking about IBM's chess-playing programs and talking about that as being artificial intelligence. That's not really autonomous thinking. That's highly programmed. It's running through a lot of different probabilities and possibilities and doing it in a way that is faster than humans. But it's essentially relying on the programming of humans. It's not autonomous, independent thinking. How would you define artificial intelligence? I think you're talking about something completely different with Artilex, aren't you?
Intelligence means just, you know, the ability to solve problems quickly. And the more difficult the problem, you know, by definition, the higher the intelligence. So, my good friend Ben. In fact, will you be interviewing him at some stage?
Yeah, we'd like to. Yes, we'd like to. Yeah.
Well, if you, I don't have to twist his arm a little. You know, Ben would be very willing. So Ben's big thing is artificial general intelligence, which sort of answers your question, because today's AI is essentially very narrow. Mm-hmm. It's very specific and detailed, applied artificial intelligence to specific problems. Like Google's probably the best example of AI. But Ben's thing is AGI, with the emphasis on the G, meaning general. So a general artificial intelligence could solve just about anything, right? It would be a master of many, many different approaches to things. And if one approach doesn't work, well, it tries something else and so on until it solves the problem, which is pretty well what we do. We have zillions of modules in our brain that specialize in lots of little tasks, and they combine forces. And if one approach doesn't work, it tries something else until it solves the problem or it gives up.
Well, that's it for our show tonight, but be sure to go to PrisonPlanet.tv and get yourself a free trial. You can see the nightly news, the special reports, the rants, all right there on PrisonPlanet.tv. Also, go to our YouTube page, the Alex Jones channel on YouTube. You can see all the great reports there as well as, well, don't forget to check out the sidebar. You can see the side channels for Paul Joseph Watson, myself, Leanne McAdoo, David Knight, and the rest of the crew. I'm Jakari Jackson from the InfoWars Command Center, and we'll see you again tomorrow night.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams a piece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. and it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.